Hello, Freakaleeks. Welcome to a short erotic sex story written and told by Lala's Bedtime Tales. Your favorite erotic storytelling podcast host is just dropping in with a few announcements for Lala's Bedtime Tales. It's October, you guys! So that means it's dark romance October. Or, for some super smut fans out there, you know it as Dark Romtober. If you're looking for sexy Halloween tales, then check out the following Halloween erotic sex stories by Lala's Bedtime Tales. If you're into witchy feelings and vibes, you love a little hocus pocus in your life, then listen to Cursed by Love. If you are a Twilight stan and you love vampires, check out Bitten by Lust for some kinky vampire BDSM. As always, I ask that you please show me some love by rating and reviewing my podcast. As an erotic writer and storyteller, I am always interested in feedback and knowing your thoughts on the stories I share with you all. So, I have another big announcement to share with you all, but this time, it's of the erotic variety. I've published my first book on Amazon. It's Lala's Bedtime Tales Erotic Stories Volume 1. It's an anthology of all the best erotic short sex stories I've written with illustrations in a very, very sexy playlist. You can purchase the ebook on Amazon for Kindle or read it for free with your Kindle Unlimited subscription. Please check it out and leave your girl a review on it. Don't forget, if you love Lala's Bedtime Tales, go check out my fun and flirty products. I have brand t-shirts, flirty flasks, sexy shot glasses, boozy wine tumblers, and stationery. And I write custom erotic stories. Also, for all my listeners that are seeking pleasure, guess what? I got you too. Lala's Bedtime Tales store includes a pleasure shop with sex toys and accessories because pleasure is everyone's birthright. So, hurry over to lalasbedtimetales.com to check out these hot items. Use code SEXUALLIBERATORS10 for 10% off your first purchase from now until mid-November. Check out the show notes for the discount code and link to Lala's Bedtime Tales pleasure shop. Remember, your greatest pleasures await. Also, if you love my erotic stories but love sex advice, dating tips, and sexual health information, then be sure to follow me on Instagram at Lala's Bedtime Tales. Every month, there will be a fun giveaway to aid all your sexy erotic needs and sexual liberation journey. Also, if you want easy access to all things sexy and Lala's Bedtime Tales, subscribe to Lala's Bedtime Tales mailing list. You can find the link in the episode notes. Lastly, be sure to subscribe to my podcast so you'll be alerted whenever there are new sexy audio erotic tales for you to listen to for your pleasure. Be sure to keep listening because you don't want to miss this year's first Halloween tale because it's super erotic and the spice is off the charts. You're going to enjoy the dicking in this supernatural, erotic sex story. It's time for Lala's Bedtime Tales. Grab your wine, dim the lights, and get ready to listen to an oh-so-sexy bedtime story. I'm Lala, and I want to tell you an erotic story guaranteed to turn you on and get you hot and bothered. So, listen up. Spoiler alert, warning. Do not listen to this episode before Fortunes of Doom Part 1. If you don't listen to Fortunes of Doom Part 1 before listening to Part 2 of the story, then you'll be super confused and not get the full enjoyment of this tale. So please, head on over and listen to Part 1. Happy listening. Hello, gorgeous. Welcome to the second part of Fortunes of Doom. This suspenseful paranormal romance only gets more insane from here. We left off with Garrett needing to explain what Molly meant about being his fiance. So, let's dive right into part two to see if Garrett's excuse is good and what's in store for Garrett and Miss Diamond. Will Miss Diamond be able to save his life because the clock is ticking? So, listen up to see what happens next in Fortunes of Doom. I give Garrett my best I'm waiting skull as we stand outside the restaurant. He shoves his hands in his pocket and looks around the busy sidewalk. Garrett grabs me by my forearm and drags me towards the parking lot where he gives the valet our ticket. What the fuck, Garrett? I'm not going anywhere with you. Not until you explain being a fucking two-timer and a shitty excuse of a fiance. I lay into him, wrenching my arm out of his grasp. He grabs me around the waist, pulling me into his body. I'm distracted by his warmth and intoxicating scent that immediately has my pussy wet and throbbing for him. Damn, the things this man does to me. Garrett has the ability to disarm me with one simple touch. Calm the fuck down. We're in public and you're drawing attention to us. I'll tell you when we're in private. I don't want to share my business with everyone. Gossiping ears are around. I'm a billionaire in the public eye. You may not pay attention to the news, but others do. Garrett loudly whispers in my ear, shoving me into the passenger seat as soon as his gunmetal Aston Martin Vantage pulls up to the curb. I stare out of the car's window, ignoring him the whole ride until he yanks me out of the car into one of his family's luxury hotels. Garrett holds me by my forearm, giving the hotel staff that passes us curt nods as he hustles us into the nearest open elevator. He presses his access card to the elevator button panel. Garrett kisses me until I'm dizzy as the elevator ascends to the penthouse suite house. The elevator pings and the doors open, dropping us directly into the foyer. He quickly ushers me out of the elevator, his fingers digging into my waist, keeping me pinned to his body like he's afraid I'll try to flee. I gasp in shock in a complete stage of deja vu. I'm in the exact room of my last vision. I'm standing in the stark white luxury living room with the amazing Boston skyline view. How do I get this dress off you? Garrett growls. I move my hair over my right shoulder, exposing my neck. And Garrett begins to nibble. The contact of his mouth on that sensitive spot on my neck makes me groan. I answer with a voice raspy with desire. Zipper in the back. Fucking hurry. I ache with sexual want as my dress falls to a puddle on the floor, exposing my overly heated, naked body. I had no lingerie on under that dress. Garrett slaps my ass, spinning me around, tugging me flush against his body as he lowers to his knees in front of me. My nipples elongate and tighten under his sensual gaze. I feel wetness pool between my thighs as anticipation builds in my hot, wet center as Garrett blows on my nipples, making them more erect. He roughly grabs my breasts, causing me to whimper as he buries his face in the valley between them, stroking and tugging on my nipples until they're painfully erect. He slaps both sides of my breasts, making me moan in delight because I'm a woman who can appreciate a little pain with her pleasure. Once my nipples are extremely swollen and so erect, the air in the room sends thrills coursing through my body. Garrett puts both nipples in his mouth, greedily sucking until I'm a writhing, whimpering mess. Garrett groans between sucking, the vibrations causing a delicious sensation that tugs on the strings of lust between my thighs, making me wetter and wetter. His hands roam freely over my lower half, stopping to knead and caress my ass cheeks, sending my body into sensory overdrive. His fingers tease the entrance of the rosebud of my ass, making me seize in anticipation since I've never had anything more than a tongue between my ass cheeks. Abandoning my breast, his tongue travels the flat plane of my torso, leaving a fiery trail of sexual want as Garrett licks, nibbles, and kisses his way to the apex of my thighs. He tosses my right leg over his shoulder, granting him full access to my pussy. He licks my slit all the way from the top of my mouth to my perineum, causing me to shudder. He then begins sucking and tonguing my clitoris while penetrating my vagina in a come hither motion. I grab Garrett's head, tugging on his hair, riding the fuck out of his face until I'm shaking through an explosive orgasm that has me screaming down the walls of his penthouse hotel suite. Garrett pulls away from me, his face drenched in my pussy juices. He kisses me hard. I tug off his suit jacket and rip the buttons off his dress shirt, impatiently stripping his clothes off his gorgeous body so I'm not the only naked person in the room. Garrett doesn't break contact with my lips as he helps me undress him. Once fully unclothed, he kisses me harder, slapping me on the ass before picking me up and carrying me to place me down on the edge of the couch. Garrett spreads my knees wide, lining the head of his massive erection with the entrance of my dripping, wet pussy, and ramming into me until I'm filled to the hilt. He slowly drags himself completely out and continues the motion two more times until his dick is slippery from my arousal. "Sit on the edge of the couch cushion," Garrett demands, as I flip myself around and drop down onto the couch cushion. He comes around facing me, slides his dick between my cleavage, and begins to fuck my breast. Garrett demands me to lick and spit on his dick as he thrusts his erection in and out of the crevice between my tits. He tells me to rub my clitoris as he tugs on my breast. Then once he's close to ejaculation, he slides his dick from between my breasts, pushes me on my back, and pushes my knees up to my chest. Garrett enters me hard and deep, pounding my pussy in long, deep thrust. I'm so hot and so horny, I squeal and moan in delight until I'm hoarse. It feels so fucking delicious. I've never had sex so amazing is my last thought before my eyes roll to the back of my head as I come so hard I think I'm going to lose consciousness. Garrett continues pumping into me, pulling out of me, and yanking off the condom shortly after I climax to paint my body with hot ribbons of his cum. His semen lands all over my breast and slides down to my belly button like he's marking his territory and stamping his ownership on me. He leaves me on the couch, a sweaty, dirty mess, with his cum decorating my naked body. Garrett comes back a few minutes later and cleans my body tenderly with a warm towel. He scoops me up and settles himself behind me. This is my favorite part of sex with Garrett. I live for our after-sex cuddle session. I find my heaven on earth when I'm in his comforting embrace, encased in his delicious scent and warmth. I snuggle more into his body, drinking up as much of his pleasure as possible. Even though I feel replete from my orgasms and my body feels boneless and relaxed, my mind hasn't let me forget that Garrett, no matter how phenomenal he is in bed, is still a cheating, sleazy piece of shit. I sit up, move out of his embrace, and scoot to the other side of the couch. Garrett gives me a quizzical look, but can read my expression to understand he's not off the hook from our earlier conversation. "So, let's talk," Garrett begrudgingly says, sitting up to face my stern expression. "Yes, let's. Please, explain to me how it's not what I think, and you're not a two-time induced fucking canoe, Garrett," I yell, crossing my arms under my bare breast. "Fucking Molly. Damn it," Garrett loudly grumbles to himself, standing up and striding over to the bar to pour himself an amber liquor into a tumbler. "Well, this isn't a good sign." It's never a good sign when someone needs liquid courage to have a conversation. I wait for him to sling it back and rapport and sling the second one back before coming to stand in front of me in all of his naked glory. I have to focus extremely hard on his beautiful gold eyes to keep my eyes from traveling down over his delicious body and my mind filling with naughty thoughts of our next sexcapade session. "I'm waiting, Garrett," I say, swallowing down the lump in my throat while my stomach does a Simone Biles gymnastic routine. Molly and I are engaged, but not in the typical sense. It's not a love story or a romantic matching of two people who meet, have a crazy chemistry, and decide on marriage. It's an archaic arrangement between our families, so her family gets a well-off, well-bred heir, and mine gets her family's business holdings, which will only expand Sullivan's enterprise holdings and allow us to branch off into other industries. We've never dated, only slept together a few times, and it's nothing serious, Garrett explains, flopping down beside me on the couch. I try to digest everything he's saying, understanding this is plausible. Since I'm an heiress, I know that some wealthy families arrange marriages like they're fucking British royalty. I stare into Garrett's eyes and see discomfort and honesty. I let out a deep breath, rolling my eyes. So, what does this mean for us? Are we just fucking, dating, or having fun? I just need to know where I stand in this situation. It seems like I have to stop pinning shit to my dream wedding Pinterest board because I won't become Mrs. Garrett Sullivan anytime soon, huh? I joke, gently bumping his shoulder, trying to lighten the mood after he drops such a colossal fucking bomb. Garrett snorts, says the woman I had to literally hunt down to give into our sexual chemistry. I doubt you even have a dream wedding Pinterest board. You don't strike me as the type to be so traditional. I think I really fucking like you. And the older I get, I can't stand supermodel Molly Doyle, and I'd rather have someone rip off my dick than be forced to have a life of shitty, boring sex with a conniving, manipulative drama queen. Actually, I've been thinking about a workaround for this engagement, and you're enough of a motivation to get the ball rolling to halt the engagement announcement. But how do you know about an engagement between Molly and me? I roll my eyes and say, "Garrett, I'm Miss Diamond. I'm a psychic. Remember, that's how we met?" I give him my sternest glare. I'd given up trying to convince Garrett of my clairvoyant powers and have been working diligently in other ways to prevent his death. The incident in the restaurant was the second vision I had that involved Garrett. Yet, it didn't provide me with too much information except that he made Molly an enemy, which could make her his potential assailant. Garrett throws his head back in laughter, bringing my hand to his lips and placing a kiss in the center of my palm. I feel a tingle at the base of my spine. A fire spreads in my belly and a pain pierces me through the heart. I succumb to darkness. Yet another out-of-body experience has me free-falling into an empty abyss. I'm teleported into this very room, recognizing the gorgeous Boston skyline and the exquisite bright white luxury modern furniture. I look down and see blood. Blood fucking everywhere. A man is trying to apply pressure to Garrett's abdomen. Garrett is lying on the floor, his white dress shirt turning red from the blood pouring from his wound as he lies in a dark crimson pool slowly growing around him. Blood slides down the side of his mouth while he chokes, gurgling and gasping noises until a single tear drips down his cheek, mixing with the blood as the light dims in his beautiful eyes, becoming bleak and lifeless. Loud howls and screams are coming from the man, putting pressure on his wound, kneeling in his dark crimson blood. I gasp for air, choking and coughing until my throat burns as Garrett pats me on the back, concern reflecting in his eyes. "Are you sick? Do you have a medical condition or disorder?" Garrett asks, going to the bar and pouring me a glass of water. He comes back towards me, shoving the glass into my hand, watching me as I take small sips. This happens when I have visions. "Garrett, please believe me. Please listen to me. I had another vision. Promise me. You have to promise me. Do not come back to this damn hotel penthouse suite. Your life is in danger. You're going to die. You're going to die in this very room. There was a man. I saw it all. He was trying to save you but couldn't. I saw you die here. I can't. Please, promise. Promise me. I will. Tears pouring down my face as I clutched the water glass, pleading with him to listen to me. I'm fucking hysterical, peering into his concerned face with a pang in my heart. Jeez, woman. Yeah, I promise. I'll promise you anything. Baby, just please calm down. Garrett says, trying to soothe me, pulling me into his embrace. I bawl in his arms until my throat is hoarse. Time is ticking. So I need to figure out how to save Garrett's life. I'm way too invested in this man. My feelings are beyond involved because he's slowly starting to worm his way into my heart. I'm absolutely smitten with Garrett Sullivan. Damn, I'm becoming attached to this man and it's too late to turn back. Well, fuck. I think I may be falling in love with a dying man. I stand in the back of my holistic health shop, mixing up compounds while watching news clips about Garrett Sullivan over the past few years, trying to figure out the man's identity from my previous vision. I reached out to my mother, and no surprise there, she offered no help. She told me to leave it alone because this was real life, not television, and I couldn't prevent this man's death. I hung up in her face. Desperation makes people do stupid things like hope, but people find a way to disappoint you time and time again. God, my family is wealthy but not Sullivan rich. I couldn't imagine having my life under public scrutiny at all times. I'm shocked no one has snapped any photos of us. I guess Garrett is being extra vigilant in his dealings with me. My heart flutters, feeling even more respect for Garrett because he's trying to protect my privacy. I hear the bell on the door chime, so I walk into the shop. I'm greeted by the gorgeous supermodel Molly Doyle. I see red as she approaches my checkout counter. This bitch actually had the audacity to visit my place of business for God knows what reason. Molly is quite beautiful, and her level of beauty matches Garrett's handsomeness, making them a strikingly attractive couple. She has gorgeous auburn to fiery red ringlets that hang midway down her back, and she's tall and slender with a cute button nose, big doll-like crystal blue eyes, and full reddish peach lips. Her ivory skin is so clear it's surreal, making her look like a porcelain baby doll. I take in her simple appearance like she's just come from the gym since she's rocking the latest Lululemon yoga set. I plaster on my biggest, most fakest smile and greet her. Hi, Molly. How can I help you today? Are you looking for a natural remedy for those crow's feet you're starting to show? So, I couldn't help myself. This bitch deserves a few jabs. Her bright blue doe eyes narrow at me as she invades my space, making me feel short, even though I'm 5'8". I'm here to see you. You're ruining everything, slut! Molly screams at me. I'm taken aback by the sheer hatred and rage she's expressing as she heaves a heavy breath, red in the face. Bitch, let me tell you something. What you're not going to do is come into my fucking business and blatantly disrespect me. Whatever issues you're facing need to be directed towards your fucking fake fiance, I yell back, seething with anger. Molly lets out a loud screech, slamming her fist so hard against my glass countertop that I'm fearful her bony ass could potentially do some damage. He's been having meetings with our fathers, trying to worm his way out of this engagement. I'm a model, but my career won't last. Garrett is my fucking retirement plan. Don't fucking take that away from me. Let me tell you something. I always get whatever the fuck I want. Garrett is mine, you witchy bitch. Molly yells at me, spittle flying everywhere as she thrashes her teeth at me, arms flailing like a rabid dog. This woman is clearly deranged and off her rocker. Molly, I don't know what you want me to say. I just know I don't want this drama, I say exasperated. My shop bell rings, signaling a customer has entered. I close my eyes, needing to get this psycho bitch out of my business as quickly as possible. I square my shoulders, stepping around the side of the checkout counter to face her at my full height. Please leave. I don't want to have to call the police. I don't think that would be good for your short-lived career. Wouldn't you agree? I loudly whisper to her. I watch panic morph into fear and anger before she huffs and angrily stomps out of my holistic health shop. Fucking Garrett. He's destroying my life. Hell, maybe my mom is right. I don't want any more crazy in my life. I ignore the sharp pain in my heart and the little voice of guilt in my head as I go to greet my customer. I'm mentally exhausted. Between the multiple run-ins with the bitter, fire-crotch, supermodel, fake fiancé, and trying to trigger more visions to keep Garrett alive, I had surpassed my stress threshold, having fainted at the circus a few days ago. My body has been telling me Garrett is more drama than I can handle. For once in my life, I have taken my mom's advice and have given my Garrett predicaments over to fate. I have washed my hands of the situation and am prepared to let the chips fall where they may. It is getting easier and easier to ignore the warring emotions I've been experiencing these past few days. In fact, I'm completely in my element today. Feeling good for the first time since meeting Garrett. I'm in the back of my holistic health shop, creating compounds and supplements. I'm listening to Halsey on my phone with my earbuds in my ear, so I don't hear anyone enter my shop until it's too late. What the entire fuck? One of my earbuds is plucked out and thrown onto my working station. I peer up into angry golden slits. You're not allowed back here. Taylor at the front can attend to your needs, I say sternly, not allowing his appearance in my shop to waver my confidence. You can't be fucking serious. You have the audacity to ghost me again? No, I'm not doing this bullshit with you. Garrett bites out vehemently. He grabs me by my upper arm and drags me through the back door into the herb garden a few feet away from my holistic health shop. You have way too much drama, and I'm over it, Garrett. I'm tired of Molly, tired of piecing together who's going to murder you. I'm exhausted. Plus, you have no right to me or my time. You need to figure your shit out with your fake fire crotch, soulless fiance, and then we can talk. I don't need this fucking migraine, I shout at him, trying to brush past him back to the shop. He grabs my wrist, flinging me flush against his warm, muscular frame, and searing my lips with an intensely passionate kiss. I cling to his body, losing all my sense and allowing his kiss to ensnare me, making me give in to my sexual wants. I allow my hands to wander over his body until I become emboldened by lust and cup his impressively hard, thick, erection through his slacks. Garrett impatiently tugs my sweater dress over my head, leaving me standing in nothing but my black lace thong and demi bra. I feel the chill of the Boston wind on my heated skin as Garrett tugs my breast free of the bra cup so he can pinch and roll my nipples until I'm moaning and shivering with desire. I hastily unbuckle his belt, unbutton and unzip his trousers, freeing his big, erect dick from his trousers. Anyone could look out the workroom window and find us in this compromising position, but I don't give a fuck. The only thing my mind is thinking about is my want of Garrett's dick deep in my pussy. My sopping, wet pussy, clamping down on his manhood, milking him for everything he's worth so I can experience that fucking euphoric orgasm I need as severely as a starving man needs his next meal. Yara's mouth descends to my nipples, which are standing to attention, stiff, swollen, and desperate for his mouth. My body ignites on fire and I growl out gibberish as he begins sucking the sensitive, hard, erect peak. He rubs me on top of my lace thong, causing delicious friction over my swollen clitoris, causing it to throb, and my needy, hot, wet center to clench in desperate need of his dick from the emptiness. You try to ignore me. I haven't heard from you in almost a week, but your pussy is so wet for me, so fucking wet, that your panties are drenched in your desire for me. I own your fucking pussy. Garrett bellows out in the heat of the moment. He pushes my thong to the side to grant himself more access to my pussy. Garrett's fingers slide through my wet arousal as he coats my pulsating clitoris in it. He tweaks, massages, and flicks my clitoris until I'm writhing and clinging to his body in sexual anticipation for what all he has in store for me. Garrett slides two fingers into my vagina, slowly massaging in and out of my hot, wet core. His mouth is sucking, nipping, and tugging on my nipples. He sets a punishing pace with his tongue and hands, simultaneously coaxing the orgasm from my body. I begin to feel the fire building in the pit of my stomach. My muscles start to tighten, my breathing becomes harsh, and then he rips himself away from me. Garrett stares down at me, angrily, leaving me hot and needy on the cusp of my orgasm. "Please, Garrett, please," I beg as he slaps my hand away from me, trying to rub my clitoris to ease the agony of sexual frustration. Giving me a slight smirk, reveling in my pleas, Garrett drops to his knees, swirling his tongue in my belly button and lazily drags it down to my mouth. He takes his time, exploring my vulva, licking on my labia, and setting me on fire as he sucks on my clitoris before slowly licking his tongue down my slit until he begins tonguing the entrance of my vagina. I'm so close and ready to combust as he picks up the pace with his tongue tricks. As I get close to the edge again, he quickly pulls away. Garrett is fucking punishing me. He's torturing me with sex. Well, two can play this game. I wrestle his slacks down his leg before pushing him into an old lawn chair. Before he can protest, I impale myself on his massive manhood, letting out a whimper of relief as my pussy clamps around him. I start to bounce slowly on his dick, up and down. Garrett clamps his hands on my waist to keep me from falling off, and I use his muscular thighs as leverage as I pick up the pace. I'm moaning and groaning as my body barrels towards a climax, and before I can come, Garrett clamps his hand on my hips, keeping me in place. I try to wiggle to create friction to get the much-needed sexual release, but Garrett is too fucking strong. I let out a sharp cry of frustration, slapping at his hands. "Garrett, let me fucking come. I can't do this anymore. I need it," I cry in frustration. "Promise me you won't ghost me again. I'm doing everything in my fucking power to end this arrangement with Molly. I give you an orgasm if you give me your trust, faith, and promise to be mine," Garrett says gently, fucking in me slowly, making me unable to think coherent thoughts. My mind wars with itself, but the orgasm begins to build again. Frantically, I yell, "Yes, you have it. I promise. Whatever the fuck you want, please just fuck me and let me come." Garrett increases his momentum, thrusting into me slow and steady. Then he picks up his pace. I grind down on him, meeting him thrust for thrust. Garrett and I are fucking so hot, heavy, and primal that it causes the old lawn chair to snap beneath our weight. But Garrett doesn't stop and demands me to get on all fours. He grabs me by the ponytail, sliding into my wet pussy and bucking into me until I see stars. I come so hard, convulsing tightly on his dick like a velvet death grip. I shudder, shake, and scream out my relief. Garrett pulls me onto my side, fucking me sideways with my leg up in the air like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, and he reaches around to the front to toy with my clitoris, sending me into another orgasm as he finds his own sexual release. We're panting, our breathing ragged, and we're covered in sweat. Fuck, he didn't use a condom. But I'm not too concerned since I'm on birth control. I feel his cum linking out of my body as I feel a tingle at the base of my spine. A fire spreads in my belly and pain pierces me through the heart. I succumb to darkness, a fucking out-of-body experience that has me free-falling into an empty abyss. I'm about to step into Garrett's penthouse hotel suite, but a frazzled redhead passes by me in a rush trying to get out of the suite as quickly as possible. She's breathing hard and impatiently, pressing buttons, but the door closes before I can see her face. I stare at the closed elevator, hearing muffled voices coming from the living room. But as I walk more into the living room, I open my eyes and I'm transported back to reality. I vomit, choking on bile, as I cough and spew it into the grass. Garrett is holding back my hair as I empty the contents of my stomach. Baby, you really need to see a doctor. I'm concerned for you. These random bouts of sickness aren't normal, Miss Diamond, Garrett says, wiping my mouth with his button-down shirt. It's Molly. I saw a redhead. She's going to kill you. Please, you have to stay away from fucking Molly. Okay, you have to promise that Molly will be off limits, I cry, grabbing hold of his arms tightly and searching his eyes for confirmation that he believes me. Okay, I'll stay away from her. It'll be me and you and Molly will be history. I promise, baby. Garrett promises, kissing me on the forehead. I let out a sigh of relief. I don't think Garrett believes me, but I believe I can keep him safe if he stays away from Molly and his penthouse suite. I was kidding myself because my life is too entangled with Garrett's. If I can just keep him alive, then we can have something great together. I shouldn't have tried to distance myself from him. I'm falling in love with Garrett, clearly. It was inevitable. I lounge on the sofa of my condo, finally able to relax. Today is my first day off from both of my jobs. Also, it seemed like Garrett was finally heeding my warning by staying away from Molly and the hotel. I needed a day to myself for a little R&R to get my life back on track. Garrett is an all-consuming force. For a while, it felt like my life was all about him. He consumed my daily activities, my thoughts, and my body. But today wasn't about Garrett Sullivan. I planned on doing a wash day for my hair, getting a massage, and working on chores around my house. I smiled to myself, knowing today would be a great day and nothing would get in the way of my self-care. I get a notification alert on my phone from one of the gossip websites I had begun to follow to track Garrett in my quest to save his life. My phone drops to the ground with a thud, and I see fucking red. I hop off the couch, pacing back and forth across my living room in a fury. I snatch my phone from where it's fallen on the ground and call Garrett. The phone rings and rings before it's sent to voicemail. So I call him again. But this time, after the first ring, I'm sent straight to voicemail, meaning he intentionally ignored my call. I scream at the top of my lungs, infuriated, tugging at my hair and pacing back and forth across my living room. I'm so pissed off that I have no fucking clue how to approach the situation. I sit on a bar stool at my kitchen counter and pull up the gossip website, taking slow, deep breaths to control my anger. Molly and Garrett are smiling at each other, looking utterly smitten with one another with hearts in their eyes. The headline reads, "Supermodel and heiress Molly Doyle announced engagement with billionaire Playboy heir Garrett Sullivan." This lying motherfucker. Garrett had the fucking nerve to make me promise him shit without any qualms about breaking his promises to me. I hastily take a screenshot of the engagement announcement and send it to him in a text message. The image elicits an immediate response from him, which sends me into an even bigger fit of rage. Garrett is a fucking liar. He's at the penthouse suite he promised not to visit until the matters of his death were settled. Garrett wasn't supposed to be in that hotel suite until I had a vision that showed him he was still alive and well. I throw my jacket on over my sweats and head out my door. Garrett has ruined my self-care day. Now, I have to drag his ass out of the hotel suite to keep him alive. Let's just hope I make it there before Molly does and before it's too late. My stomach twists in knots as memories of his lifeless body lying in a pool of crimson blood flash through my mind. I practically run through the hotel lobby, bumping into a beautiful dark-haired man exiting the elevator. He grabs my shoulder to stabilize me from our impact, but doesn't pay any attention to me because he's too caught up in the conversation with whoever is on the other end of the line. My stomach flutters with a weird sense of knowing him, but I can't get distracted. I have to get to the penthouse suite before I'm too late and Garrett dies, validating my vision. I use the key card Garrett gave me to gain access to the penthouse suite. I bite my nails, tap my foot, and silently beg the elevator to move faster because time is literally life or death at this given moment. The elevator finally pings and I rush out as soon as the doors open. I'm met with a feeling of deja vu as a fiery redhead frantically sprints past me with her clothes in disarray and smelling like sex. What the entire fuck is going on here? My heart is ready to beat out of my chest as I run into the penthouse living room, fearful of what state Garrett will be in when I find him. "Miss Diamond?" Garrett exclaims in shock, looking frazzled and embarrassed. His hair is in a messy state and his clothing is wrinkled. Did he just get done fucking Molly? Has he been playing my ass like a fool this entire time? I rush on him, invading his space and needing answers. "Are you fucking Molly?" I scream at him, pushing him hard in the chest. Garrett stumbles back, his nostrils flaring with anger and his beautiful golden eyes darkening with fury. "I'm sorry, but I'm a little confused about why the fuck you are here," Garrett growls back, stepping closer to me. "I'm here because your life is in danger and you're at the hotel's penthouse suite. The penthouse suite you told me you'd avoid because of my visions," I shout at Garrett at the top of my lungs, stamping my feet and swinging my arms around like a wild banshee. Garrett rolls his eyes, snorting while moving towards the bar. He turns his back to me, pouring himself a shot of his favorite premium whiskey before turning around to give me his full attention. "I said that to humor you. Clearly, it's what you needed to calm the fuck down and keep you fucking me because you were an easy lay. I mean, you were eye fucking me the whole time until my buddies walked up to greet me, baby. I had them come up to your booth and be assholes, all so I could swoop in and be your knight in shining armor. It works every time to get me laid, and you're no exception. But I will say, you were the easiest of them all. I bet if I had asked to shove my dick down your throat on the Ferris wheel and record it for my friends, you would have been so fucking game. You're quite the exhibitionist. The Ferris wheel, the funhouse. Hell, even at your job at the health shop." Garrett laughs, making me the ass of his jokes. I grow angrier and angrier, feeling dirty, stupid, and used by his antics. He takes a sip of his liquor and continues. "Look, Miss Diamond, I get you moonlight at the fucking circus as a fortune teller, but psychics aren't real. I don't know what or why you got it in your head that I'm dying, but please, it's starting to get on my fucking nerves. Stop acting like a mad woman that belongs in a straitjacket. I like you a lot." Well, let me rephrase that statement. I like fucking you a lot for the time being, but no pussy is that good for me to continually want to stick my dick in crazy. I already stick my dick in my fiance Molly, and that's enough crazy for any man. Garrett grounds out, chuckling. The room begins to tilt. I am burning with rage and I feel bile rising up my throat. Garrett is a fucking jackass. I knew it all along. There were giant red flags flapping in the wind, but I let him tell me all the pretty things I wanted to hear because they struck my ego. I'm bubbling with rage. I can't think of a time when I felt so fucking unhinged in my entire 24 years of life. But wait, did he fuck me into submission the other day for no reason? Did he just admit to fucking that fire crotch? Stick your dick in Molly? You told me she's your fake fiance. Do you not really want to be with me, Garrett? I asked, trying to keep the angry tears out of my voice, but to no avail. I've never been so furious in my entire life. Ah, about that. I should have gotten the access card back before the engagement announcement went out to the public. I'm a man who enjoys his games. I'm brilliant at chess, you see? I love to get Molly all riled up because her claws come out in sex, making her a complete animal. I'll take women out to dinner where I know she loves to dine and get her all worked up and crazy. Most of the women I don't even fuck, but you and your pussy are always so needy for my dick. So I indulged a little bit. I can't believe you're that gullible. I got the fucking enraged Molly today. Some of the best sex I had in months. I should have taped it. You can use some pointers. So I had sex with a wild, hot, and angry Molly. That's a win for this game. Check. I got to slum it with a hot woman that let me fuck her at the circus. That's a double win. So, can you say, checkmate? Garrett says to me with the biggest shit-eating grin on his face. Fuck you, Garrett. I'm a grown-ass woman, and I'm not going to stand here and let you degrade me for enjoying fucking sex. My biggest mistake wasn't being adventurous in bed, but it's for screwing a slimy prick like you. I yell back, crossing my arms and trying to regain my composure because I was going to leave this dumpster fire with my dignity intact. I can't believe I tried to save this douche canoe's life. Oh, okay. That's hard to believe the way you were begging and coming multiple times all over my dick. Even if you have regrets, I still fucked you. I got what I wanted and your services are no longer needed. So, hand over my access card and don't let the door hit you on your way out, you crazy bitch. Garrett laughs, waving me off with a flick of his wrist. Oh, you think I'm crazy, asshole? You know, I wish I had a front row seat to your inevitable fucking death because that's when you'll meet fucking crazy. I can't wait to revel in the shit you deserve knowing there's one less fucking asswipe in this world, I yell. My stomach begins to bubble with a burning sensation that feels like I digested battery acid. I feel nauseated and my vision starts to swim. I hear Garrett mumble, "Not this shit," under his breath, huffing out annoyed. The next thing I know, I'm shaking while seated on the floor with a throbbing in my head and gaps in my memory. The crystal glass tumbler Garrett was previously holding is smashed into shards and littered across the floor. I begin to shake harder and in horror as Garrett drags himself away from me a few feet, flopping to his back, holding onto the handle of a knife firmly wedged into his gut as I saw in my vision. Shit, did I black the fuck out? What the fuck? How could you stab me? Garrett groans loudly. I stand on legs that feel like gelatin, running to kneel beside his violently shaking body. I have never been a violent person in my life. I've never felt so much rage towards anyone before in my life either. But I don't think I stabbed him. At least not physically. Garrett lets out a loud howl, like a wounded beast and continues. The knife flew out of nowhere as I was trying to help you as you began having one of your fucking episodes. It was like some Stephen King Carrie type bullshit. Oh my gosh, I don't remember anything. I fought so hard to save you only to end up hurting you. Garrett, fuck. I love you even after everything. Shit, you can't die on me, jackass. I need to call an ambulance. I yelled through the tears running down my face while touching his face, trying to soothe him. I don't know the extent of my special gifts. At that moment, I thought about stabbing him. I saw the knife on the bar, but then everything went black. I assumed a vision was coming, but could I possess more powers beyond my psychic abilities? My brother will be back in any minute. You barely missed him. I have so many mixed fucking feelings towards you right now, but you need to fucking run because I love you too, and I can't have you fucking up all my plans. Garrett laughs, grunting in pain as tears slide down his face. His eyes don't meet mine as he continues. Miss Diamond, run. It'll be okay. Garrett quietly chuckles as his skin becomes pale and waxy. I freak out, kiss his clammy forehead, and run. Before I know it, I'm running down the sidewalk, away from the hotel, still crying and shaking from earlier events. My vision had come true because of me. I had killed my lover, Garrett Sullivan. I guess my mother was right, and you can't control fate. But now I have to keep running. The prestigious and almighty Sullivan family will be out for blood due to the death of their golden boy heir. I stop running once I'm far away from the hotel. I hunch over, placing my hands on my knees, trying to catch my breath. I hear my cell phone ping with a text message. I'm hoping it's my mother. I feel she didn't tell me all I needed to know about these fucking special gifts she passed down to me. But when I open the text, I immediately drop my phone after reading it. Unknown. I know what you did. I saw it all. I'll come to collect it when the time is right. You can run, but you can't hide, bitch. My heart rate accelerates as tears of panic slide down my face. My head is throbbing in pain as I try to make sense of the whole situation. Also, did Garrett say he loved me? I burst into uncomfortable and uncontrollable laughter. Well, I suppose love definitely couldn't survive murder. Luckily, I had money, and he didn't know my real name. I had fallen head over heels in love with a man who knew me as Miss Diamond, Seeker of All Fates, the Fortune Teller. He didn't know me as Jada Jenkins, heiress of Jenkins International Entertainment. I guess fate had a funny way of determining our path, because the family business I had been running from might be the one I needed to flee to for safety. Well, damn. I guess that saying is really true. No good deed goes unpunished, especially if you're dealing with a fuckboy. Now, Miss Diamond, or shall I say, Jada Jenkins, life is a complete and utter mess. Maybe Garrett's twisted fate was entangled with Jada's because she'd be the one to end it all for him. Or is she?
So hot and sexy bedtime stories from Lala's Bedtime. Thanks for tuning in to this week's erotic tale. For more erotic stories, sex tips, love advice, and sexual education, check out lalasbedtimetales.com and add me on Instagram for more erotic and sensual content at Lala's Bedtime Tales. Please comment and share your fave sexy bedtime stories with erotica enthusiasts like you and me. Ta-ta until next time, sexies.